for those of you who came to hear Brother Buck Chumley this morning, I apologize. I'm not Buck Chumley. And we're going to study a little bit, but I'd like to thank Evan for those last two songs. Song about heaven, how beautiful it'll be. And then our faith. We're going to talk about faith this morning as we begin our lesson. As we look at this, there's a lot of us here, probably about half, maybe not half, who can remember 1965. I remembered I was a young teenager. There are some of you who are teenagers now that were about the age I was, about 14. And as you look at it, there was an event in 1965 that happened that... I've got to turn the pointer on. I'm having technical difficulties today. I doubt if anybody in here, including my wife, knew the man whose name was Tom Purdom. Tom was a man who I came to know. I knew him before he ever showed up at the church building at South Marion, where we had attended for a number of years. 75 years old when he came to the church building. But I knew him because his wife had obeyed the gospel about 6-7 years before when she was visiting her daughter down in Florida. She had obeyed the Lord and came back. They hadn't been Christians. They hadn't went to church for years and years. But I knew Mr. Purdom. He was the grandfather of one of my cousins who I spent a lot of time with. And we would go over at their house every once in a while, and he was nice and things, but a lot of times he wasn't even there. In South Marion, there was a strip on Washington Street that had a Ben Franklin and a Rexall drugstore and some things, but right beside all those, or a little bit away, was a bar named Mr. Jig's Club. And Tom Purdom was a World War II disabled veteran who spent nearly every day when they were open at the Mr. Jig's Club. He drank all the time. Now, my aunt and uncle picked up his wife and brought her to church after they had moved back to Indiana from Florida. And she was there every time the doors were open. But in 1965, on a Thursday night, our midweek Bible study was on Thursday. Right at the end of the service, not during the service or anything, the back doors opened, and Tom Purdom walked from the back up to the front and sat down. And a lot of people knew who he was. The congregation was about 200 people at that time, but most people knew who Tom Purdom was. They knew he was kind of classified, like on Andy Griffith, as the Otis of the town drunk. And he surprised everybody. Well, he surprised the preacher so much that the elders went up to talk to Tom. He told him he wanted to be baptized. So they said they had the song leader, one of the other elders, lead a couple extra songs, and they went back into a classroom back in the corner where the junior high class met and talked to him for a little bit. And they came back out, and I still remember Brother Hewitt, one of the other elders, got up as he was talking and said, "Tom Purdom came and wants to obey the Lord today. He said that several years ago, his wife became a changed woman. And that he couldn't believe the difference that she was. And that he had to have whatever it was that she had. And he knew it was her relationship with Jesus Christ." Now, as you look at that, the title of our lesson today is An Unlikely Faith. And I'm telling you that Tom Purdom was not a man who anybody would believe would have become a child of God. But he did. And he did so because of the relationship with his wife and watching her. She didn't hound him. She invited him to come to worship. But she was there every time the doors were open. And because of her influence... So this morning, we're going to talk about an unlikely faith. But we're going to go back to the Bible. You remember we talked about in our Bible class this morning, people have used this illustration a lot of times, is that Jesus was in the crowds. I mean, he couldn't get away from people at this time. He had performed a lot of miracles. And when he came back to like Capernaum, the crowds gathered around him and flocked around him to where he couldn't do anything. Well, Jesus went to the area up here of Tyre and Sidon. And I put this map on here as he withdrew in our lesson that we're going to talk about today to Tyre and Sidon. Here's the area that he preached a lot. Now, Galilee and Caesarea Philippi, around this area is where Jesus pretty much dominated. If I remember right, and we've got a map that shows Tyre is about 35 miles, Sidon is somewhere close to 60 miles away from Capernaum. Well, Jesus heads to that area. And it seems that in the text that we're going to look at in our lesson, that Jesus went there to have some alone time with his apostles. As he retires to this area, we're going to look in our lesson this morning to the passage of Scripture that Jesus had with the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew's account and in Mark's account. As we look at it, we look at Matthew, and in the 15th chapter, in verse 21 of chapter 15, it says that Jesus went and departed from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, I wanted us to see where Tyre and Sidon was, and also that today it's in the area of Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon and Beirut is in that area. They're up in this area. Syria, they're Syrian countries or Syrian places. It's about 35 miles from where he'd been, and then 60 if he went on up to the city of Sidon. These were not Jewish communities. They were outside of the Jewish area. The green there on that particular map kind of highlights the area that the Jews pretty much were in. But this was not the area that Jesus would normally be in. As he went there, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came and from the region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' And he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' He answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table.'" Then in verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Then if you turn over to the account of Mark, in the seventh chapter, Mark chapter 7 and verse 24, as we set the context for both of these passages, it says, "From here he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know." And so that's the point we were trying to get at. He was getting away from the Jewish hubbub as far as all the crowds and things to spend some money. This is in the second toward the third year of his ministry. So it's toward the end of the time that he's going to have, and he says he wanted no one to know, but he could not be hidden. "For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, 'Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she answered and said to him, 'Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs.' Then he said to her, 'For this saying, go your way, the demon is gone out of your daughter.' And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out of her and her daughter lying on the bed." So as we look at this, this woman was a Canaanite, was a woman of the Syrophoenician area. And not someone that Jesus would normally go to. Well, this whole region is not one that Jesus would normally go to. She was a Canaanite. She was a Syrophoenician. And she has an unlikely faith. And I say that because, as Jesus told her, he was sent to not the Gentiles at this time, but he was sent to the Jews. And as we look at it, one of the things that we consider is that Jesus, in the two accounts, and we try to show the reason that maybe they're a little different. Matthew's account, as we have here on the screen, emphasizes her faith, while Mark's account emphasizes that she was a Gentile and Jesus was opening up even to the Gentiles. Now, as we consider this lady in the passages that we've read, she had an unlikely faith. Now, Jesus had went away from everybody. He had not been performing miracles in this area. Matter of fact, remember one of the statements he made in condemning Capernaum and Bethsaida and those towns around the northern side of the Sea of Galilee was that if Tyre and Sidon had heard these things, they would have repented. If even Sodom had heard these things, seen these miracles, they would have repented. Well, here's a woman who has not seen the miracles, but she's heard about Jesus. Jesus couldn't get away from those things. Now, as she comes, he's kind of laying low in this house, but this woman comes and she shows him her faith. The woman showed great faith in that she was humble in her approach. As she looks, if you look at verse 22 of Matthew, the 15th chapter, how did she address Jesus? She addressed him. She knew who he was, Son of David. She had heard about the miracles that he had been performing. And she wanted help. It's kind of like we looked at Jairus' daughter and some of the other people in the scriptures. She was desiring Jesus to help her. She was looking for a miracle, but then she's going to exhibit some faith. Matthew points out that he doesn't say a word. The disciples, though, want him to get rid of this pest. You see that? You know, let's get rid of this woman. She's not the kind of woman you want to be around. She's not who you came to talk to. But Jesus didn't send her away. You know, her steadfast influence and talking to him, Jesus already had said, as we pointed out, he didn't come to talk to those of the house, but to the house of Israel. And he tells her, as we look at this, that the children's bread is given to them. It's not given to the dogs. Now, one interesting thing is, Jesus uses a play on words. You notice the New King James says little dogs. As a difference, pretty much the Gentiles by the Jews, the Jewish leaders, were thought of as wild dogs. We have domesticated dogs today. Well, they had some at this particular point in time that were pets. Then there were the wild dogs. Kind of like in Indiana, when we first got married, we lived out in the country, and there were packs of coyotes and wild dogs. They called them coy dogs because they were kind of a mix. And people just shoot them because they scavenged. They would come and they would kill chickens, they would kill hogs. The farmer down the road was losing little pigs every night because they were free range back in the late 70s, early 80s, not the hog houses like they have now. But anyway, he didn't call her a dog like the Jews thought. He said the children's food was not meant for the dogs, the little dogs or the lap dogs, as a couple translations. I think the New International, I looked at it, even calls them puppies. As you look at that. So he's not insulting her. And that's important, I think, in this, that Jesus doesn't insult her, but he proved his point that he said he didn't come to her. He didn't come to the Gentiles. And his answer was probably not what she expected, but she didn't get discouraged. And that's really the point of what we're looking at. She didn't get discouraged because the disciples wanted him to send her away there in verse 23. In Matthew's account, he answered, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. Then she came and said, Lord, help me. She called him son of David. Now she extends that higher and calls him Lord, ruler or master. He said, but Jesus answered, verse 26, it is not good to take the little children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He's comparing her not to a wild mongrel, but yet there's a difference and a distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. And she said, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She's still asking Jesus for help. And Jesus said in verse 28 of chapter 15, O woman, your faith is great. She had a lot of faith. But you stop and think about this woman. She was also a woman of humility. She was willing to come and to kind of wait through some insults, so to speak, and try to listen to Jesus and learn from him. She was also a woman who was persistent. She didn't give up. There are a lot of people today, I've heard people for a long time make statements about, well, I prayed about that and God didn't answer it basically the way I wanted him to. So we get discouraged. You know, you stop and think, how many times did Elijah pray for rain up there on the mountain before it rained? He kept going back and kept going back. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, I believe it is, the widow that is persistent, Luke, the 18th chapter, I'm sorry, Jesus talks about the persistent widow that keeps going to the judge, and because of her persistence and her keeping on going. Now, as we look at this woman, these three points are the things that we need to think about in our own life. Do we have the kind of faith that she did to come and to keep on coming to Jesus? Do we have the kind of faith that she did in that we're willing to show our humility? We mentioned Naaman in the Bible class this morning. He wasn't willing to do what he was told to do by God at first. Brother Darrell pointed out that I said the servant girl, well, his servants then later urged him to do what the prophet had told him to do. And it was only when he was obedient, only when he submitted his life to what God told him to do, that something great happened. And ours is the same way. You know, my pride, your pride can get in the way of us being what we need to be. It can actually get in the way of us going to heaven, folks. We need to be careful. And we need to be persistent. I remember a long, long time ago, a fella came out of the building and looked at me and said, young man, you just got to keep on keeping on. Now, this man was in his 90s. And, you know, I understand what he was talking about now. You know, then it was just kind of like, yeah. But now I understand what he was talking about. There are highs and lows in our life as children of God. There are times when it's hard. There are times when it's easier. We have to be consistent and persistent in our faith in serving God. You know, the Jews, the book of Judges amazes me. Some 13 or 14 times the people would turn away from God. They'd cry out to God because they got oppressed. God sent them a redeemer or a judge to get them away from these problems. Thank you, Lord, over and over and over. Sometimes before the next generation. Whoop, right back. It's like a cycle. Now, the question to you and me today is, do we do that same kind of thing? Or are we willing in our lives to do what God tells us to do every single day? Not just show up here at the church building. But when you leave here, and tomorrow when you go to your job, there's no such thing as a Sunday go-to-meeting child of God. We're either children of God today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, or we're not, or we're just pretending. There was a show years ago on TV called The Pretender. He pretended a lot of things, but he wasn't any of them. Are we doing that kind of thing? Now, I can't answer that for me, and you can't answer that for you. But when we look at this woman here, She's kind of like Tom Purdom in that nobody expected him. You know, you and I stopped and was thinking this morning. My great-grandparents were Christians on both sides of my family. I was blessed in that. My grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. And I became a child of God. Now, I had something that I was taught growing up. Some people aren't. Now, this widow or this woman here, this Syrophoenician woman, ought to teach us we need to be willing to reach out to other people. You know, not someone that just looks like us or has the same educational level or the same economic level. But what about the person that we see that doesn't have anything? Are we willing to share Jesus to them? You know, I don't know anybody that went to Tom Purdom and invited him to come to church. Shame on us. Why didn't we? He was a town drunk. But he saw in his wife, by her godly example. You know, doesn't Peter talk about that in Timothy? That a godly woman could actually lead her family, her husband, to the Lord. I saw that. We've seen that in other places. We saw it at Embry Hills with the conversion of one of the sister's husbands there. I was talking to my cousin yesterday. This was her grandfather. And she said, well, her husband's dad obeyed the Lord when he was 82 years old. You know, so never give up is kind of the thing. And never be surprised, because sometimes we don't know. The problem is, we think we know who would be interested and who wouldn't be interested. Anybody else have that problem besides me sometimes? This person never would listen. Shame on us. We weren't told to be soil testers. To test the soil of everybody before we went and sowed the seed, we were told to sow the seed. Now, I remember, and it's kind of a funny thing now, but it wasn't for a few years because I got ribbed about it. When we lived in Tupelo, Mississippi, now this is a long time ago, I bought some seed to plant out in the yard. I never planted it. Guess what? My grass that would have grown from that seed never grew because I never took the effort to go out and plant the seed. Now, would all those seeds sprouted and matured? Probably not. But some of them would have. We need to be not guilty. There's too many times that we're guilty of, well, I'm going to study till I get to a point of being able to tell people. If you are a child of God, if you can't do anything else, can you invite someone to come to worship with you? Or can you tell someone what you did to obey the Lord? You know, it's not wrong sometimes if somebody asks you a Bible question, you say, well, I need to get some help. Don't shoot off the hip like I've been guilty of way too many times. Let's tell people what the Bible says. And let's use the example of this uncommon faith that this lady had, that Tom Purdom had, and we need to have. Our faith, you know, we have to live different than the world, don't we? Now, are you living your life today so that you can go to heaven when you lay down this life? That's really the question. It doesn't matter what else we do. It doesn't matter what anybody says or does. If you're not ready to meet God, you should never walk out that back door without making your life right with God. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to become a child of God. If you're here and you have sin in your life, you need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. What are you waiting for? Excuses are a dime a dozen, or a dime a million, probably. Turn your life to God. Let's have the kind of faith that this lady did that we need to have in our service to God. If we can help you in obedience to Christ, why don't you come forward this morning as we stand and sing?